Okay, now the question that I'm going to quickly ask you now is one that deals with the interpretation of the Bible. I told you guys that I'm sitting on this committee, Commission of the Presbytery, that's dealing with a congregation in Leesburg. And you know my view, you heard it on Sunday, how I feel about biblical standards. But in this committee, there's a guy that is a little bit like a soap in a bathtub. You can't get hold of him, you know. He's sort of, you know, whatever. So when we meet with this congregation, I declare to them, you don't need to convince me of your irritation with certain things in the church. I'm with you. But I've got a major issue with the process at this point and what's happening and how much certain things are harming the body of Christ. That's on the table. That's our task as a commission. And I'm very clear about this. But this guy that's with me on this commission, every single time when we meet a new group of people, because we met the session, we met the pastor, and now we are meeting small groups of the congregation, every time he says the following. He says, you know, and he's quiet for a moment. I've heard so many interpretations of the Bible. He says, I've heard scholars say this about this issue. And the issue on the table is the fact that our church allowed gay and lesbian people to be ordained in our denomination. And that's a controversy. He says, I had some theologians say this about the issue. And then I had others that said this about the issue. And I think these theologians are great. And I think these theologians are great. And therefore, you know, we are going to just get through this and it will just pass. And I think this is not a big issue. And the church just needs to embrace this and put their arms around it because nobody knows. Then I bite out all my fillings. And then as the conversation normally continues, I would say we need to, and as I sit on Sunday, not really try to figure out what we feel or what we think, but what God says. And then I said once what I think the interpretation is. So how do you know? Because I've heard people say to me, I'm just a Christian. And then I read some people say, this is yes, this is good and that's bad. What now? How do we deal with this? A few things. Firstly, interestingly enough, in the Roman Catholic Church, they believe that the church is the one that would explain how we should understand the Bible. So the Pope is the ultimate authority on the explanation of issues. So in a way, a cardinal and a priest may never disagree with the Pope because he stands now in a way for Christ and as the head of the church. The issue is in the Roman Catholic Church is that through the years, the popes have not always said the same thing about the same thing. And therefore, they had a council meeting in 72, the first council of the Vatican Church, and they had to go back and they had to rectify certain things that some of these popes in the past said because some of them were really not in any way biblical. I tried to be very kind here. So that's the way they are trying to deal with this. Now we in the Reformed Church have a little bit of a problem because we are not led by one individual, and even our General Assembly, that's a huge body that consists of a lot of people, can't really be representing, I think, a good explanation or understanding of the Bible. So what do we do? An example I want to use is one of, if you go to the doctor and the guy tells you that you need to have this problem, that's his diagnosis, and you need to get this procedure. And then all your friends say you need to get a second opinion. So what do you do is you go to another doctor, and then this doctor tells you, well, I think the diagnosis is a little bit more, it's not really there, it's a little bit there. And I think the answer, the treatment should be this. So now you've got an A and you've got a B. Now you're completely confused. The one says surgery, I need to cut this out and chop it up and bury it deep in the ground. And the other one says, well, I'm not really sure if that's the issue, maybe we should do something else. Anyone has been there? I think so. You've heard of people that had this issue. So what do you then normally do? Then you try to get a third opinion to see if the third opinion is more a little bit there or there. And maybe the third person says, well, I agree with A more than with B, but in your heart, you are still not really okay with their answer. So what do you do? And normally what people then do is they try to educate themselves. They would study the subject a little bit, look online, look at books, talk to people. And they would, and I think that's very wise, they would find out a little bit more about the doctor. Is he a guy who knows his field well? Is he well known in his field? Does he have a lot of experience in doing this kind of thing or whatever? Because if you discover this guy is sort of from this school and you know he's had a few complaints and whatever, I can't trust him maybe this much. And that's true about the interpretation of the Bible also. If you ever want to know if you can trust someone's interpretation of the Bible, it's good to do some research on the person, find out if this person has had a good theological training. Some of the guys that preaches on TV, and I sometimes listen to just a little bit, is interesting. That's all I can say. I think to really be able to deal with the Bible correctly and honestly, you need to know at least some Greek and I believe some Hebrew. I believe you need to know the history of the Bible quite well, and you need to know the Germans call it the Sitzenleben. That's the way that the text is put in context. You need to understand that also. You need to understand the different, well, ways that you do exegesis and how you should look at the text. And the sad thing is that some guys just take the Bible, you know, and if they see a specific word or a verse, they just read this verse and then they decide, well, that's what the verse is saying. But if it's from Nehemiah, you need to know that there's a different goal that Nehemiah had than Ezekiel had or Isaiah had. And you need to know that John wrote his gospel more like a sermon, because he gave us some interpretation of what the Lord said. You need to know that Matthew wrote to the Jews and Luke wrote to the world and Mark made the summary. And you need to know that the congregation in Corinth was a very complicated congregation. They were like teenagers. They were weird. They were so different from Rome. So if Paul wrote to the congregation in Corinth and he said to them certain things, you need to understand it within the context of what he said to the people. You need to know why they had those issues, because Corinth was a city that had a specific problem with people that came to the city. And there are so many other things you need to, I think, understand a little bit. All of us have the Bible, and all of us are allowed freely to read the Bible and to interpret the Bible for yourself. But our interpretation is not always the correct one. So even I go and check myself constantly. And if I am a little bit uncertain, do you know where I check myself? With the pros. Who are the pros? There's a guy like Augustine that wrote a lot of things about the Bible and what God tells us in the Bible. There's a guy, Calvin and Luther. There's a guy, Anselmus. There are all these names. I don't know if you've ever heard them, but they are huge, historically great theologians that did not always read the other's documents, but came to the same conclusion when they did exegesis or the study of the Bible on a lot of different and very important subjects. So if anybody comes to you and says, yeah, no, you can't leave the Bible. A says this and B says this, that and D says this. Say, that's true. That's part of the health world also. You'll have a doctor say A and a doctor say B and a doctor say C. So if you really want to know what the answer is, go and get yourself a good doctor. Get a good theologian, someone you can really trust with a huge history of knowledge, experience, and check the history. Check the history, and you'll find the answer, a biblical answer. The last thing I want to say, one thing about the Bible, and that is very important. If you take your Bible and you read your Bible honestly, with an open mind, and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, I promise you, all of us sitting in this church will come to the same conclusion on 99% of the issues in the Bible. Of course, the Holy Spirit will lead us in the same direction if we allow Him to lead us. It's probably not on the table now with this subject, but I in our previous church in South Africa, our session had a decision really never to vote that much on stuff. And if we had a vote and somebody voted against it, we would stop the whole process. Because I said to them, how can the Holy Spirit lead you in this direction and lead me in this direction? That's impossible, isn't it? The Holy Spirit will lead all of us in the same direction. It happened once that we had an issue that was difficult, and all of us said yes, and one guy said no, and we said, okay, stop the process. We will go away and pray and read our word and ask the Lord, and we came back after a week, and all of us agreed with the one guy that was out the previous time. And all of us in unison said, we agree with you. You were right all along. So I believe that the Holy Spirit also helps us to understand His word, but then we need to be honest with God and with His purpose and His goal. Sadly, a lot of people use the Bible as a tool to build their own kingdom, their own agenda, their own thing. And we need to be very careful, because you can use the Bible for anything. I can, if I want, I can use my Bible to in a way, have a foundation for almost anything stupid that I want to do, because you can find it in the Bible if you misread the Bible. Okay, questions about this? Anything? Okay, let's go on. The question for tonight is, how must I cope with insults and people breaking down my self-esteem? Sarcasm is just one more free service we offer. Suicide is the only way out. Okay. So how do we cope with these things as Christians? You guys never had anybody threaten your self-esteem? How can they? You've got Jesus Christ in your heart. But if you need to answer this question to a kid or to someone who's young in their faith, who's struggling with life, what will you say? It's not about us, remember. This has to do mostly with questions that you may be asked. I thoroughly enjoy my wife's work situation. You know, she's like my test object that is sent out in this world. And then she comes in the evenings and then she tells me what happens there. You know, I work in a very protective environment. Robin protects me from all these people out in the streets. They don't come past her. She even screens the calls. So, you know, a pastor has not that issues. I don't have people coming cussing at me normally. I don't have people coming and they threaten me normally, so it's sort of okay. But if I listen to Louise's stories, it's sometimes very interesting how this thing happens in the corporate world, it seems to me, on a constant basis. I heard last week of a guy that applied for his boss is retiring, and he applied for his position. He didn't get the job and then he was fired, because the guy that got the job saw him now as a threat because he wanted to be there, and they fired him. And I just shook my head and I said, there must be something else. And I found out from someone else, that's the truth. That's what happened. So the company politics are sometimes extremely mean, because they are trying to break people down because they don't care for you. It's just a stepping stone to get to the other thing. Now, a normal reaction is this. You know, if a guy is hurting you, or someone is breaking down your self-image, treating you badly, get Rambo, man. Let him sort it out. You know, that's how you feel. You want to get yourself a gun and... But that's not always work. The example we've got is the one of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter, it says the following about what happened to the Lord. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. It's interesting that Peter wrote about this. Peter, in his letter, is very practical when he addresses the effect that Christ must have on our lives. That to believe in Christ is not only something that's for the church, but really for the application of how you should live. When he suffered, he made no threats. And Jesus Christ could really, you know, he could just say, Father, take them away. And I believe his dad would, because it was his son. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And why Peter is saying this, he could have said he entrusted him to his father, who knew that his son was going to sacrifice himself for the world. He entrusted him to his father that he knew, who always made his promises true. Those nice things that we normally would say to people, but he doesn't say this. He says he entrusted himself to the judge, who knows what they are doing. And that's what Peter wants us to know. I also had to say this to someone, this is someone else today, who I said, you know, God knows what's going on. And it's not my task to do God's work. God will take care of that person. God will take care of his body. And if you are a part of the body of Christ and you are being attacked unfairly or even fairly by the sinful world according to them, not to God, but unfairly according to them that they think they've got the right, God will take care of those people. So what do we do? Pray. That's very important. So if you're in a situation where people are straight true to who you are, and that's the problem many times, is that when you are in a situation where people are really treating you bad, it's easy for you to drop to their level. So you are functioning on this level, they are functioning on that level, an ungodly, unbiblical, unloving level. It's so easy for you to drop to that level and try to take them on this level, but you can't win those battles there. You don't know the rules. So you need to stay on your level. You need to stay on a godly level. You need to stay where God wants you to be. Remember the sacrifice for you. And what I mean by this is, I always need to say to myself, but Christ died for me, and he died for me to be different. And he died for me because of this world that hated him and hates what he stands for, and I need to expect that I also will experience this hardship and this pain. Deal with it then in a biblical way. Try to stay calm, concise, focus on the issue, not the emotion, and then be done with it. So I don't think you ever need to just fall over and allow this to happen. So if somebody constantly deals with you, I think you've got all the right in this world as a Christian, after you've prayed, to be extremely calm and say, I don't appreciate the fact that you are doing this or saying this, but you need to separate emotion from the thing. That's the most difficult thing, because you are sometimes angry and upset. You want to hurt this person and you want to say too much, and you need to figure out what is the issue. There's normally only one thing on the table. You need to deal with only one thing, and that's the thing that this person said, and deal with this and not all your emotions and all the results of this, because that's like a spider web and you will never get yourself untangled out of that mess. Stay with one issue. I once sat, a few times in my life, sat with people in this situation where it's very controversial, and there were so many emotions and things. I do a lot of counseling, you know, and I always say to the couples, whoa, what's on the table? One thing. This is the issue. This is the issue. We deal with this issue first. If we deal with this issue, we can move on to the other one, but not all of these things that's lying around. And then be done with it. That means that if this person hears you or does not hear you, what else can you do? Live your life to its fullest and don't allow someone to drag you down. The truth will always be victorious. If you live a life that God has called you to live and you stay true to your biblical calling, you will be victorious. You will eventually prove that person wrong by the way that you live. I have had to say this recently to someone who's also struggling a little bit with a self-esteem issue and with the world being breaking this person slowly down. I would say, and remember that you belong to Christ. Your value is in Jesus Christ. He has given you a place. He's given you a name. You are a Christian. He's given you a place in his family. You are royalty. Live like royalty. Act like royalty. And enjoy life like royalty. People will sometimes hate you for it. They will be mean to you. And they will be trying to separate you in a sense from the rest of the group and isolate you and make your life very difficult and say stuff about you that's not true. But what you do is live your life in a biblical way. The world we live in is broken. We can't always control what happens around us, but we can control what happens inside us. The truth will be victorious.